Coming up next on Daybreak, starting on January 1st, or actually more appropriately, the 2nd, the Federal Immigration Ministry will begin accepting sponsorship applications after a two-year freeze. 5,000 spots will be opened up for sponsors to bring their parents and grandparents to Canada. The sponsors have to meet a wealth requirement and prove that they can support the basic needs for their relative for up to 20 years. Darina Bashilova lives in Montreal with her sister, and she's applying to sponsor her parents from the U.S., and she joins me in studio. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Good, thanks.
We also have David Cohen, who is a Canadian immigration lawyer representing Darina's sponsorship application. He's here with us as well. Good morning.
Good morning.
David, we'll start with you. What exactly is changing come the beginning of January?
Well, the first thing that's happening is that the doors are being opened again. As you mentioned, they've been closed for the past 2 years, and so there is certainly a pent-up demand for individuals in Canada who would like to sponsor parents and grandparents. That's the first change, is that the door is open. It's open, but barely, because Canada will only accept the first 5,000 applicants with regard to the sponsorship.
And how many applications were coming in before?
Well, it's been closed. So
before it was frozen?
There was a backlog of a considerable number, 50,000 applicants waiting in line. Now, that has been whittled down in the last 2 years as there's been no intake and there has been output. But there still are a considerable number of applicants waiting in line. So whether these fresh applicants are going to the back of the line, one would assume that. So there will be a bit of a wait. But what's changed now is that the sponsorship obligations are now more onerous in that, as you mentioned, the sponsors in Canada have to take care of the basic needs of the sponsored parties for 20 years after their arrival in Canada. And if they don't, then the government would then go after them to fulfill their obligations.
What are those basic needs? So what sort of things would they have to cover?
Food, clothing, housing. If the relative ends up on social welfare assistance, then the government is not going to let them be on the street, but the government will then go after the sponsor to make good on the undertaking that the sponsor has signed. So that's the first requirement. It goes on for 20 years, so it's significant. And the income. In the past, you needed to show 1 year of income above the – it's not actually wealth, it's income. So you needed to show 1 year of income above the low income cutoff level for Canada, which wasn't significant. That's now been raised so that you need 30% above that. And for example, if you would want to – this is not for everyone. If you would want to sponsor – let's say you're a family of three in Canada, wife, husband, one child, want to sponsor both parents, that's going to be a significant amount of income for the last 3 years, tax returned income of probably in the range of $60,000 to $70,000 minimum.
So it limits the category of people, I guess, who would be able to do this. Darina, I want to speak with you about your particular case. Who is it that you're trying to bring to Montreal?
I'm trying to bring my mom and my dad, who are currently in Massachusetts, and they are they will become double immigrants, if you will, having immigrated from Russia to the States in the early 1990s. My dad was part of what was known as the brain drain back then. And in order to give my sister and I this opportunity, which we have seized and we have succeeded tremendously, I am now a lawyer in Montreal and my sister is finishing McGill Med. So through the twist of fate, my sister and I are now both established in Canada. I am a Canadian. My sister is in the process of becoming a Canadian. We have both married Canadian citizen and we intend to stay in this country. Ironically, my parents, who have abandoned their family, their parents, my grandparents, are now finding themselves completely alone in Massachusetts with no extended family network and with their only two daughters living in a neighboring country, but still a different country.
And so you are trying to be one of these 5,000 people who will get their applications in come January 2nd. Is this a race, David? Is it going to be possible to get her application in?
Well, to some extent it is. On the one hand, the government is only making the new forms available today, actually. So they still have to be completed and submitted. But all of the supporting documents to prove the income for the past 3 years, to show the relationship between the parent and the child. If that hasn't been started by now, then, you know, I think there's going to be some difficulty getting in under the wire, unless the government chooses to go with some kind of lottery system, but they haven't indicated that at all, and they're limiting it to 5,000. So I certainly don't expect the door is going to be open very long.
And it seems that they're accepting applications either in person at an, or pardon me, by mail or by courier
by mail
at
or
their
courier,
office.
Correct.
So not in person.
Not in
right?
person, and it has to be submitted to Mississauga, Ontario. All applications will go there.
And so how is this going to work? Well, as soon as you get the forms today, you will be sending it off in the mail?
We will be using a courier service to to Mississauga tomorrow morning if we can, or on the 2nd.
Okay. So the sort of a first-come, first-serve situation here.
Yes, well, but people have been preparing. I mean, Doreena's not alone in taking advantage of this situation, and we've known for some time that this was going to be limited to 5,000, so... You know, as they say, the early bird gets the worm.
How quickly could that fill up, though, if you're looking at mailed-in applications from across the country?
Well, think of the pent-up demand and think of the number of Canadians. There are probably hundreds of thousands of Canadians that qualify or are eligible to do this. How many of them are actually going to go through it and willing to take on the obligation of the 20-year undertaking? I'm not sure, but I don't expect it will be open long. I would think a matter of days.
Doreena, you, as you mentioned, you were a lawyer and your sister is in med school, so you ostensibly are in a financially relatively stable position. So is the idea of supporting your parents for that 20 years something that that worries you?
Not at all. And it's, you know what, I find it such a joy to have this role reversal where I had my parents sacrifice so much all their lives for myself and my sister. And now, through sort of the opportunities that they have given me, I am the one who is able to take them under my wing and say, Mom, Dad, now is your chance to relax, to enjoy life, to raise the grandchildren one day and, you know, be next to your children and just relax.
About that wealth restriction, you're in a position to handle it. Other people might not be. Do you think it's fair for the government to put that sort of limit on the applications?
I think it is a very, very difficult question because, of course, on the one hand, living in a socialist society that Canada is, there is always the worry that you don't want people to come and to burden the society. On the other hand, is it fair to say that somebody who can afford to do so can do so just because they're more privileged, and somebody who loves their parents just as much but maybe not as much of a financially stable situation would simply not qualify to do it. I think it is unfortunate. I think it's something that the federal government looked at through and has made a decision based, I imagine, on substantial statistics and what they can afford to do, and they're opening this. I think it's a gift. And it is unfortunate that the requirements have been changed.
With all of the people waiting to come into Canada, I know that these are different categories, that they're not, people aren't necessarily directly competing for space. But why do you think it's important that the government allow people like you to bring their parents in?
I think you always need a family support. Let me give you an example. My husband and I, we have dinner with his parents, my in-laws, every other Sunday night. We either go to their place or we take them out or bring them to our place. It's a tradition. We look forward to it. We get to exchange news. We get to see each other. We get to share this meal. My sister and her wife's parents have dinner together every Friday night. They have their Shabbat dinner, and this is something that they look forward to together. It's a tradition, and it's great to be able to gather the family. I don't have that with my parents. My sister doesn't have that with my parents, and we want to be able to do that. We want to have our own family tradition to continue that on a personal level. Also, I don't want my parents to be alone in the States.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with those applications, and hopefully you hear a positive response to yours when it gets in on January 2nd. I want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
My pleasure.
That is Doreena Bashalova, who's applying to sponsor her parents from the U.S., David Cohen, Canadian immigration lawyer. We did reach out to the Federal Immigration Minister's office, but no one was available for comment.